Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of scripture. I'm Carolyn Kirsten.
And I am always, at least most days, Marvin Williams.
All right, there it is. And today we are looking at John chapter 6, verses 22 through 71. A big chunk tonight.
Yeah, it's a big, big chunk. So to kind of get us rolling, Carolyn, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So I'm sure there are numerous ways to get people to events. You know, especially students when it comes to youth events.
Mm-hmm.
But what is one surefire way to get people and especially students to an event?
Bring on the snacks.
Yes, bring the food. When you have food, people will come.
They do. And actually, yeah. It really is true any age.
Yeah.
But students for sure. Absolutely.
So when you were in student ministry, excuse me, what was one of your favorite snacks or foods to get you to an event?
Well, it doesn't take much, but always a fan. Actually, I'm thinking when I was a Young Life leader, the ice cream in the eaves, in the trough,
okay,
sort of situation, okay. And then all the toppings, like that's always a great time and delicious. Low-hanging fruit, those hot and ready pizzas from Little Caesars.
The pizza ministry always works.
It does, absolutely. That crazy bread, I'm not much more than water, butter, and flour, but it goes down pretty easily.
So you know, again, why are we asking questions about food and getting people to events and all of those kinds of things? Now, just the context of this, we have to remember the context of this, that Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000 plus people, and the crowds continue to grow because they've seen Jesus do a lot of miracles, and then now he multiplies the loaves, and the crowd continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, excuse me, and so we see that in verse 25 and 26, they're following Jesus in a sense because of free food.
Yep.
Now, again, everybody likes food, but what makes it even better is free food.
Absolutely. And it's like the bonus points on your Chick-fil-A app. Just rolling in. If we hang out with this Jesus guy, we get all kinds of extra points.
I love it. And so, I think this is a question. I think a question for us, why am I here?
Yeah.
Why am I following Jesus? Am I following Jesus because of the light show, the power moves, the showmanship? Or am I following him because he is Messiah and he is the one that has life? So again, we see people following Jesus because of miracles, of free food. And the interesting thing is Jesus doesn't mind. He knows that they're following him because of miracles.
Yeah.
He knows that they're following him because of the free food. And guess what? He doesn't mind at all because there's something greater that he wants to reveal to them. So what do you think? What are some of the things that stuck out to you?
I totally agree with that. And then in verse 27, when he kind of says, okay, I know you're here because of the loaves and because your bellies were full. But then he kind of challenges them. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That's Jesus, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. And that makes me pause and ask, you know, what am I working for? Am I working for food that's temporary, or am I working for food that is eternal? Am I working for credit from others, from affirmation from others?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I working for things that will last?
Yeah.
And a lot of that takes time. I mean, even thinking fast food versus slow food.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
There is a temptation to do things for the quick fix, you know, whether that's a dopamine rush on a social media app versus the long haul of an in-person relationship that takes time to develop. I think Jesus is challenging them and us. Like, what am I working for? Is it for temporary, quick satisfaction, or is it for eternal fruit?
Yeah, that's a really good nuance, and I want to add a little bit to that. So you see in those verses 27 through 30 where they say, what works do we have to do to get this food? But then Jesus subtly changes it. He said the work. So they are asking for works, and he said the one work you need to do, and that one work is to believe. So they're asking, you know, and again, this goes back to something that we've talked about before. You and I cannot work for eternal life. We can't do enough good works to earn the free gift that God has given us. But the one work we can do and should do is the whole idea of the book of John, is to believe.
Yep.
And out of that belief comes all of these other works that actually end up blessing people. Now, the other interesting thing is that the work of believing actually takes work. For you and I to, again, to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, but even for us to continue to believe who Jesus says he is, it takes work. It takes effort. Whether it's reading the scripture, whether it's praying, living in community, being a part of a group that helps me to become a better disciple. So we can't do enough works to earn salvation, but we are called and invited to do the one work, which is belief. And even that takes work for us to trust that Jesus, man, he's who he says he is. And then for us to continue, you know, to believe that. So what are some other things that kind of stuck out to you in this passage?
Well, I want to hit on that a little bit more because I think that is kind of a subtle nuance, but so important that, you know, they ask the questions, well, what can we do to perform the works of God? They're very focused on outward appearance, actions, which I totally get, like as human people in bodies, like act and respond to things that we see, but that outward evidence. But what Jesus is looking for is that heart change of belief, which then results in action. And as you said, our belief looks like something. I think that's something that we always need to, I mean, back to that question of what am I working for or what, how, I mean, I think that's valuable for us to assess. Have I switched into a works mode?
Yeah.
Or am I growing in my love and understanding of the Lord? And out of that, my actions are flowing.
Absolutely. And I think the motivation, again, checking our motivations and asking God to purify our motivations, and even checking our motivations, am I giving out of performance because I'm hoping that God will pay me back? Or am I praying? You know, do I have a streak of 10 days praying in a row because I'm, you know, God is listening and God is, you know, he hears me praying and he sees the effort that I'm putting in and he's going to pay me back. I've come to church 4 times in a row.
Right.
And somehow we think our performance is the thing that, that gets points with God. And again, I think those are the times where I have to check my motivation. Mm-hmm. Why am I giving? And so a lot of times I struggle with, you know, being on the platform and then obscurity. Those are two things that I struggle with as an Enneagram 3. I think that's what I am, Enneagram 3. That's the struggle. Mm-hmm. And so motivations that are good motivations that are hidden or performance that's motivated from a good place, those are the ones you don't mind doing things in obscurity. You don't mind if nobody knows your name. But again, the idea is, why am I performing or why am I doing these works? And I think coming back down to what you said, it's a heart transformation. It's a heart condition that I think matters, that I think matters the most.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other things that maybe that connected to your heart on this?
Okay. So verse 35, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And I had previously underlined that verse because I went to Jackie Hill Perry's conference. She came to Lansing area sometime in the last year. And she referenced that verse and gave the analogy of, you know, you go to a restaurant like Olive Garden or Bravo or Outback Steakhouse where they give you bread, you know, at the beginning. And we all, or Mexican restaurants with chips and salsa. and I don't know if you're like me, but you can't stop.
No,
like
you
just
exactly,
eat
exactly.
that bread, and then they exactly. say, would you like another loaf? Sure. Like at Bravo, that oil dipping, I don't even know what is in that stuff, but you can't stop.
Yeah.
But then you're so full when the actual meal comes that you don't have anything left. So here's what Jackie said in related kind of with that that word picture. She said, when you're full of the bread of life, you don't have room for anything else.
Yeah.
So if Jesus is the bread of life, when we are full of him, as if he's that Outback Steakhouse bread or the Olive Garden breadsticks, then we don't aren't as tempted. We're not as swayed by the other things of this world that try to feed us and fill us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that was a great point. And when I wrote in my actual Bible, like when you're full of the bread of life, you don't have room for anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, again, Jesus becomes the sustenance for us. He becomes the nutrients that fill our lives. And to your point is, food that's not real food doesn't satisfy.
That's right.
And it adds a lot of calories too. So, but real food, whether you're talking about vegetables or you know the food that's good for you, you end up not missing that other food that's not real food. And I think Jesus, to your point, is saying like, no, I'm the real food. I'm the real sustenance. For what it means to really, really live. Yeah. And if you eat of me, and which is kind of weird, because now is Jesus asking us to be cannibals?
Yeah, he does get a little weird. I mean, he straight up says, eat my flesh.
I can't believe Carolyn just called Jesus weird.
Drink
oh, man.
My blood. He gives a very vivid word picture
But. And I think it's to that point, is that Jesus is not asking us to be cannibals. I think Jesus is asking us to take in his words, mm-hmm. take in his life in our very lives, so that when we speak like Jesus would speak.
Yeah.
Or when we're faced with a difficult situation, we would respond the way he would. Or when someone hurts us, there's some sort of injustice, we would respond the way Jesus would respond. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, but when his life is in our lives and we're aligning our lives with his, which is the word picture, eat his flesh, drink his blood, take in his words, his life, his thoughts, then, man, we actually start sounding like Jesus and responding to all of life like Jesus. And so Jesus is not asking us to be cannibals,
right.
but he is asking us to align our lives with him so that as we take in his life, his words, it just metabolizes, that's a big word, I love that word, in our own lives. And so our first responses to stuff, things that happen to us would be like how Jesus would respond and mm-hmm. not the way we would desire to respond. So it's a hard word. It's a kind of a weird picture, but it actually helps us to see a little bit better what it means to live for Jesus.
Yeah. And it goes back to that idea of transformation occurring internally and not through outward behavior. When we're full of the bread of life, when we are feasting on that, that is what is changing us, not our outward behavior. In spiritual parenting, we talk about, and maybe I've even referenced this in a previous podcast episode, but if you have an oak tree, but you really wish it was an apple tree, you can't make it an apple tree just by tacking apples onto the leaves. Like maybe temporarily,
right.
It might look like an apple tree, but you have not changed its entity, its identity. It's still an oak tree with apples tacked on.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
And that will reveal itself. Yeah. You know, when we are just trying to change things on the outside, but we're not being transformed internally, it will not last. That is not actual fruit.
Yeah, and I think the way God reveals that is he places us in very difficult situations, and what's inside will ultimately come out.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, as we get ready to kind of wrap this up, the one thing that struck me, Jesus said some pretty hard things. Drink my blood, eat my flesh. These are very, very difficult things to accept. very difficult things sometimes to understand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things we just don't like what Jesus says. And the reason I know that is because later in this chapter or the passage that we're studying, people began to leave.
Yeah.
They began to
too
walk
much.
Away. Yeah, this is like Jesus, you're like, we just came for the free pizza.
Right.
We came for the ice cream in the boat. That's what we came for. We did not come to be challenged to live differently. And that's when you began to tell, and again, I have to ask this question of myself. Why am I following Jesus?
Yeah.
Am I following Jesus because of the stuff that he can do for me? Or am I following him because he is in fact Messiah? In fact, after these, they said, this is a hard teaching. This is like very, very difficult. And they began to walk away. And then Jesus turns to the 12 that are following him and said, now, will you also leave me? And what do the disciples say?
Yeah, and their response is, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.
Wow. Yeah.
So even though they're like, you know, we don't have any other choice. I think that phrase is interesting. They've come to believe and know. And I think they're still in the process of believing.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were like, oh my, drink your blood. Like they're trying to figure that out. But they had experienced enough of Jesus and had enough of a relationship with him that they knew, hey, I don't have him all figured out, but I know he is the one I want to follow.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah. They were saying, you're not just the pizza man.
Yeah.
You're not just the bread man. We have come to find out. And I love what you drew out of that is that it's a process. Believing is a process. There's an initial belief that we receive Jesus, surrender to him as the Messiah, Son of God. But then there's a process of continuing our belief in him. And these guys who were with him for a long time, like they were infants in their belief, and then they grew up in their belief, and then they grew up some more in their belief. Their belief matured in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same way it is for us. And the question that I'm asking myself, and I would ask our audience, why are you following Jesus? And even though things get tough, and even though things are hard to understand, even though things are hard to accept, man, our encouragement is for you is to keep believing.
Yeah.
Keep stepping, keep walking with Jesus, because as Peter says, we don't know anywhere else to go. You're the one with the real life that actually helps us to know what it means to live how God has designed us to live, with a real, beautiful, beautiful life.
Yeah.
So,
So what can we believe about God and others from this passage?
Yeah, I think starting off for me is that coming full circle back to what you said is that Jesus is in fact the real food, the real bread,
mm-hmm.
and the invitation is given to us by God, come and feed on my son and live. And really live, not just surface living, but really, really live. And so we can look at God as someone who provides real food for us, food that will last and endure. That's
yeah.
one of the things for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And thinking of that in a really practical sense, like, am I giving time every day to taking in his word and spending time with him? I mean, I think for a long time, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I always knew that reading the Bible was important and would, you know, hit or miss or go with streaks of doing it faithfully. But then other things would take priority, and, you know, it might be months or something before I'd pick up my Bible. But having that consistent time with him each day, it's truly, I mean, if we're talking about that is the sustenance, that is what I need for energy and full life. Like, That is really, I've found that to be true. And that when I do get off, and when I'm not spending time with him, I can quickly recognize that, man, I'm working in my own strength. I'm just eating Cheetos and gummy bears right now and missing out on the full life, the abundance that Christ offers. I think that is a great reminder to me. And then also just that he, as you said, Jesus is the Son of God. There is a lot in Scripture that's confusing, that's hard to take in. But boy, I also don't want a God that I can totally figure out and understand. So there's that too.
Exactly, exactly.
I love that we can, but I know him well enough. I know his heart that I know I can trust him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can continue to grow in my belief and understanding of him.
Yeah, I think again, the thing that I need to be reminded about myself is I will always be tempted to follow Jesus because he gives free pizza. And he gives ice cream, and I have to constantly check my motivation. No, I'm following him because he truly is the Son of God, and I've come to believe, and I'm continuing to believe that he is in fact who he says he is. And so, always checking my motivation of my why of following him.
That's really good. Well, thank you for listening, friends. Encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and take a minute to rate and review it. You can now rate on Spotify, and that helps. That helps other people find the podcast. Share it with friends, share it with others you know, and we'll see you next time.